Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Racing went back in after a year break, and it did not disappoint. Now we look to another historical race weekend taking place in Monaco. Welcome back to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia, and joining me today, we have Good Talk co-host Joel Housen. Wow, hello. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah, it's good to be back, though. Thanks for getting you back on. Looking forward to it.
I'm really excited. It's not me this time. It's been me for the last couple episodes, so glad to have somebody to kind of go back and forth with and talk about the current F2 and F3 season so far. Really excited. But today we'll be reviewing the F2 and F3 race that took place in Imola last weekend and also previewing the F2 and F3 race weekend taking place in Monaco. But before we get into this episode, we gotta thank our sponsor, which is BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Get every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to their website or their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or just unwind with one of the 150 slot games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website today to get in on all the action, and don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And also, make sure you're following us on the social media channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with this show and also our sister show, Grid Talk, which covers everything F1. So yeah, returning back to Imola this weekend, and overall, it was a great weekend of racing. We had a chaotic sprint race with both Formula 2 and Formula 3, and then a tamer feature race with a few first wins as well and a few historical podiums. Looking into Formula 3 race weekend, it's the first time since Sochi 2019 a full team lockout took place with Triton at their home race, followed by the other Italian team, Aprema, locking out P4 to P6. Santiago Ramos took the pole with Casper Suzuka on reverse pole. Originally, Noel Leon was meant to be on pole, but due to Alex Dunn off the back of being announced as a McLaren development driver, was disqualified from qualifying due to a breach of technical regulations surrounding the front anti-roll bar links. It's not an F2 or F3 race without a disqualification, I'll say that then. There's always something going on. But the sprint, I mean, George, like, I watched it, but I'm reading so many different reports depending on what time you read them. I'm still confused on what actually happened.
I mean, the F3 sprint, there was a grand total of 4 safety car periods plus a VSC as well, which I think in what did we have, like 16 laps or something like that. It's impressive how many incidents we had. Every single time they wanted to get going, someone flew off the track. It just shows what a difficult track Imola is, and obviously trying to restart when your tires and brakes are cold, it just proved too much for these young guys and young ladies, I'm afraid. Yeah, lots of incidents, lots of people flying off the track. But the main highlight for me was Ollie Goerfer. I think it's Ollie Goerfer anyway. I know his last name's Goerfer. He put an amazing overtake on Leon right at the end just to sense it. Because obviously, you know, instead of it being a regular safety car restart, it was a virtual safety car. So, you know, it was kind of like the F1 game, just fastest fingers first, basically. Just send it as soon as you can. And he did that. He did it to great effect. He managed to snatch the race win in the end, an unbelievable win. But yeah, Imola really proving that it is a difficult beast to tame, even in this modern age of Formula 3 racing.
For sure. I mean, even that, it was quite interesting because he did cross the line. And then right after the race ended, they still gave Noel Leon the win and the P1 podium and Tim Tranitz as well. But then there was a late penalty for Leon. So obviously he dropped down to P3. But Oliver Goethe and Tim Tranitz reinstated their positions anyway from when they came across the grid. Wild. I mean, I don't understand how that's even possible to have. There was three different winners in a span of probably 10 minutes after the checkered flag. I don't understand how. And then backtracking as well. There's a lot of backtracking that happened in the FIA this race weekend. We'll definitely mention about it in the Formula 2 review as well. But absolutely wild. And then you have a calm and tame, straightforward feature race. Pretty much all drivers behaving well. Sami Mäntynen for Trident was able to take his first win and a home race win for Trident. Oliver Goethe, after the crazy sprint race that you've mentioned, George, was able to split the Tridents to take second. And Leonardo Fonaroli for his home race took the final podium. Looking at the standings so far, Leonardo Fonaroli takes the lead with 52 points, followed by Luke Browning, who was able to score points this weekend, P2 with 49. And Dino Boganovic is P3 with 45, and he's also tied with Gabriel Mini. F2 race, Gabriel Bartoletto was able to take pole. Pretty much there's a few back and forths going on. So originally it was Bartoletto, Ollie Bearman, I think it was, I can't even remember who was P3, and then it was Kimi Antonelli. Both Prema teams that times got deleted, along with seven other drivers also got deleted due to track limits of some sort. But then reinstated back again, but then talked about potentially grid penalties for the feature race. But then that got reinstated as well. Very interesting. Amiral Cordier was able to take reverse pole, which that's a great feat to say in its own self. But yeah, both qualifying and the sprint race for F2, very, very chaotic and confusing to follow along if you're not watching it live.
I did actually watch that live, and I didn't even realize all that stuff was happening, to be honest with you. I don't even know what these guys have been punished for, allegedly. You know, it was that was manic. Yeah, strange to say the least. Like, what were they actually being punished for? Was it blocking? Was it technical infringements? Was it
track limits? Apparently, it was track limits. But even then, how? It's a narrow track.
Yeah, there's not that much runoff, and I don't know where they would have actually gone off unless it was the final chicane where you could easily cut the whole thing. And I mean, I was, to be honest with you, I was absolutely shocked with how a lot of the F1 guys were just bouncing over those curbs. It looks incredibly painful because their rear end is pretty much on the floor, so I can't imagine how painful that must have been doing that like 60 odd times a day. So yeah, strange to say the least. But like you say, you can't go an F2 or an F3 weekend without there being some sort of penalties dished out to at least five or so drivers.
Definitely. And then the sprint as well, there was how many retirements off the first lap? Or again, I was not able to really watch the sprint race, unfortunately, on the Saturday morning. I watched bits and pieces of it, but again, I looked, and then I looked back about 25 minutes later, and it was just completely all changed around. How did that turn out?
Yeah, so we had a start line crash, and the replays they showed weren't actually the best. They didn't really show in too much detail whose fault it was, if anybody's fault it was. But the long and short of it is they had, you're going three wide with Hajar on the outside. Hajar ran out of room. Hajar spun. Bunch of guys got knocked out. So Hajar, let me just read off the full list here. Hajar, Dirksen, Fittipaldi, Hauger, and Stanek all out. And they were the only actual retirements during the entire race. We had a disqualification for Taylor Barnard, which I'm sure you'll allude to very shortly. But yeah, it just seemed to me like a racing incident. You know, 3 into 2 doesn't go. Unfortunately, no one wanted to yield. But interestingly, two of those drivers that I just mentioned had a very good Sunday after that.
Yeah, I mean, going back with that disqualification, Taylor Barnard, that's the second McLaren development driver or connected to McLaren that was disqualified this weekend. And then we'll talk about this later. Another McLaren development driver has been banned from racing in Silverstone as well, which I will allude to later due to technical infringements. But yeah, it was not the best day to be a McLaren development driver that weekend. But yeah, Taylor Barnard, I'm trying to remember what exactly that penalty, the disqualification, was it something that was a technical infringement?
Let me just unmute myself. There we go. I'm just looking on the page now. So Barnard was, yeah, he originally finished in seventh place, but he was, his car was found to not engage the race start setup procedure, whatever that means. What does that even mean?
Maybe not on the grid spot properly?
That's probably what it is, yeah, yeah. Like, they might have had a mechanic on there too late or something like that.
I remember a team got... Yeah, to be fair, it could be that, because I remember, what was it, last season, that had the same instance where they were on the one light to go, and there were still team members on one of the cars. I can't remember who it was, but they got disqualified for it. I think it was the MP Motorsports last season as well, so... Interesting to see. But I mean, similar to F3, the feature race of F2 pretty much kept it clean, but it was a tale of pit stop problems for a few of the drivers.
Yeah.
Like, Ollie Bearman was leading for a podium and then stalled not once, but twice in the pit, pretty much dropping him down to the bottom of the grid. We also had two drivers back-to-back lose their left rear tire after incorrectly being bolted on. So Amaury Cordier and Pepe Marti came into the pits. However, Cordier's rear left tire was not put on properly, which led the tire to come off, actually hitting Pepe Marti Campos' mechanics during the pit stop of him, which also delayed his pit stop, which didn't put the left rear on properly. So they both came off flying. And again, this is not the first time this has actually happened, even this season. A tire has come off. I think I saw three last season. I think I've seen maybe two this season already, or one at least this season. How? I mean... They practice pit stops quite often because it's the same people that are doing the F3 pit stops as well. I don't understand how, because it's one person that does everything for the one wheel compared to F1, but don't understand.
I think that's probably potentially what the problem is the fact that, you know, whoever's putting the tire on is also lifting the tire, the old tire off, and also putting the new one on. Whereas in F1, it's literally just like one guy puts it on, one guy takes it off, one just puts the wheel gun on. So it's quite a simple movement. So yeah, it was very, yeah, that was scary. I don't like seeing stuff like that. It reminds me of Mark Webber back in 2013 in Ürdeberg, and when a camera guy got, I think he like broke his shoulder or damaged his neck or something. It was a horrific incident. Hate seeing stuff like that. Thankfully, I think the mechanic was relatively all right in the end, but yeah, you don't like seeing stuff like that. And it's just one of them where you just go, oh, whoa, you see the tire flying across, and it's like, that could have gone anywhere. That could have gone absolutely anywhere. It could have even gone onto the racetrack. But then it's like, oh God, that's worse. But yeah, weird how it happens twice. I mean, I guess they're just absolutely pushing the limits. And just like, unfortunately, Behrman was. I felt so bad for Behrman. To do it twice, to go from... He was leading the race as well at the time, wasn't he? Yeah, so to go from first to last pretty much because of that, it was absolutely painful. But... You know, it might be a case of him struggling to get back into the groove of driving an F2 car, and maybe struggling a bit with the pressure as well. But you like to think, despite his struggles, there's still going to be a seat waiting for him in F1. But you hate to see stuff like that. And of course, we've got Monaco coming up next, which is very much a make or break track for these kind of things.
Definitely. And we're definitely going to be previewing it on this episode because it is such a historical track, and especially for F2. Now, I'll mention it in more of the preview, but F2's been racing since the start of the inception of F2. F3 only has been racing since last year, so it'll be quite an interesting one to see. But I mean, with Imola as well, it is the longest time in the pit stops as well. So it is a bit difficult on how it goes. But it was back-to-back feature wins for Isaac Hatt. He was able to win the previous round and also this feature race. Gabriel Bortoleto unable to convert another pole to win, but... After a not-so-great sprint race, Joshua Dickinson was able to take podium. He is the first Paraguayan to get points, let alone a podium, and also the first points under the new team management of IX Racing. That was great to see. Like, you know the meme, and it's like the three people on podium and the person on third is like popping the champagne bottle more than the other two. That was how his reaction was that whole race. Like, especially given that he retired from the first corner of the sprint race to then be on the podium in the feature race where all the points do matter. Absolutely crazy. And definitely, I think his family was all there as well. So definitely emotional to see.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a guy as well who, when he got announced as coming to F2, not even going straight into F3, it's like, this guy doesn't seem ready with the greatest respect to him.
Before Kimi Antonelli as well. I will say this. Before Kimi Antonelli, and I have I'm eating my words when I said I was not going to expect him to do well, Joshua Dickinson, and now he's doing so much. He's better than Kimi at the moment, if you're comparing the two. I apologize to him.
I do as well. He has absolutely proved he's ready. He had an excellent weekend at Mimola to do that in the feature race for something else. He fully deserved it. Yeah, of course, got some luck with all those guys with stalling and with the wheels falling off and everything. But he was there around a track that is very difficult and caught so many drivers out, more experienced drivers than him. And yeah, ahead of Kimi Antonelli. Get him in the Williams, get Dirksen the super license. He's ready.
Get him the Mercedes back. I mean, I think he qualified either third or fifth as well. So that was a quite surprising one, because even his teammate as well qualified in the top 10, Taylor Barnard, I believe. Don't fully quote me on that off the top of my head. But they are doing very well, I guess, under the new announcement of the new management. They used to be IX Racing by Cheruse, or PM Racing, sorry. PHM IX Racing. They've had so many different names over the last 3 years I've been covering F2 and F3. So quite an interesting one. No change to staffing from looking at some of the press releases. So it's just sponsorship change. But looking at the standings, Zane Maloney still tops the table with 68 points, followed by Paul Aron with P2 with 63 points. And because of the double feature race wins, Hajar is now third with 59 points. George, overall, Imola, like, it's been a year. It's been very new for a lot of these drivers, unless they've raced in some of the...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to a trip you'll never forget in Denver, where summer sunshine sparks mountain adventure, where neighborhood strolls lift spirits sky high, and where music takes center stage at Red Rocks. Catch a baseball game at Coors Field, step into new dimensions at Meow Wolf, and take flavor to the next level under the stars at a Michelin restaurant. Denver, always welcome. Plan your trip at visitdenver.com/summer.
Junior year seasons, but overall a decent weekend. Not serious accidents, obviously disqualifications, but that's a constant in feeder series this season by the looks of it. But really good to see for all the drivers.
Yeah, impressive from these guys. I mean, the main thing for me is that they could actually overtake. I mean, in F1 we didn't see many overtakes at all, because the cars are so wide there, the track is so narrow. And if you can hear someone in the background, it's my son who's joined us, but he can chill. He's just doing some art at the moment. But it was impressive from these guys. So we actually kept it on the road. I mean, the F3 guys really showed how difficult it is. It's low grip, it's very punishing. Gravel tracks, everything's changed since last time as well. A lot of the runoff areas and gravel tracks have either been reduced or enlarged as well. And so that it's a completely different circuit, even for the guys who did race here in 2022, which the vast majority haven't, because of how quick the grid turns over in F2 and F3. So I think they did a really good job, to be honest with you, to have as few accidents as they did. But obviously, there were a few accidents. I mean, the main disappointment, of course, just came from those wheels being not fitted properly. You know, mistakes happen from the drivers, but that is almost a given that these guys should be able to fit the tires. That is, I'd be shocked if those teams don't have a heavy fine coming the way.
100%. I've not seen anything as of today, but no doubt there could be some infringements, maybe even some quick penalties, which kill the drivers because it's not even their fault. But But looking on to Monaco, the race weekend is slightly different due to all the racing taking place and how narrow the track is. So free practice, which normally takes place on Friday, is taking place on Thursday this time around. And then qualifying is actually split into two groups, Group A and Group B. They both have 16 minutes to get a lap time in. This is broken up by odd and even racing numbers, and they decide on Friday who is Group A and Group B based off the racing numbers. The fastest from each group will be on the front row, so the fastest in Group A and then the fastest in Group B. Whoever out of those two will take pole, and then alternating the grid, which I think is fair because historically Group B actually tends to have a better time due to the track wearing in and the time of day. In terms of the sprint, however, the fifth fastest driver from the other group will be on pole, with the fifth fastest from the first top group will be on the front row reverse grid as well. So it means that both poles would not be from the same group, if that makes sense. It is very confusing. It took me a while to kind of understand how that worked, but it makes it more fair for the drivers. Like I said, they have 16 minutes each for F2 and F3, and then they have probably an 8-minute window to change cars over. F3 will be more difficult because there's obviously more drivers compared to F2, but it's going to be very interesting to see. And also it means that not teams aren't doing all three drivers or two of their drivers at the same time in qualifying. It gives them kind of a break between the two. George, what's your take on it as well? Because it is very confusing to follow sometimes to understand who's on pole, but let's see.
Yeah, it's a tricky one to understand, especially when you're coming from an F1 perspective, when all the guys are out on the track at the same time. It kind of harkens back to the days where you used to have one shot qualifying in F1 to an extent, but obviously you've got half the grid out there. And some people might think, well, the track conditions are going to be better later on, which they probably are going to be. You could also chuck it down as well with rain, which I don't even know what they'd do in that situation. I don't think that's happened yet. But, you know, you can totally understand it because, you know, especially in S3 where you've got 30, you know, these cars are smaller, of course, but they're still going to take up a lot of space. And traffic around Monaco is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. Even if you only have 15 cars out there, it's really, really difficult. So I totally get it. I think it's the only way to do it, other than have like a reduced grid or a reduced entry list, which that's just not fair. Can't do that. You can't have like you can't have two cars for each team instead of three. Who the hell do you decide to, you know, be in the race then? But yeah, it's a difficult one. But at the same time, I think it's the only way they can really do it. To be honest with you, it's the fairest way they can do it.
Definitely. I mean, hopefully no red flags, no incidents. But again, a lot of these drivers have actually never been on the track before as well. So very interesting to see. So for Formula 3, this is the second year that they've been racing. It is 3.34 kilometers. The fastest time comes from Gabriel Mini with a 123.278. The sprint race is 23 laps and the feature race is 27 laps. Looking to the results from last year, Mini was able to take pole alongside Dino Boganovic on the front row. And then on reverse, it was Leonardo Fornaroli and Taylor Barnard on the reverse grid, which all four are pretty much in Formula 2. In the sprint podium, Pepe Marti took P1, Leonardo Fornaroli took P2, and Gregoire Saucy P3. In the feature, Mini converted the pole to a win, which is very common, and then Dino Boganovic P2 and pole on rounding out the podium. So, as always, we're previewing, so we gotta have our predictions of our podiums and our pole. I'll start off, I guess. I think it will be Mini again taking pole. Not Mini. Wow. Different genre. Sorry. In Formula 3, I think it will be, let's go, Lawrence Van Halpen to take pole. I think in podium, it will be Fornaroli, Arvid Lindblad, and Alex Dunn in the sprint podium. In the feature podium, I think, I don't even know who we'll get. Gonna think really who's probably the best person. It's obviously a lot of people have kind of just been all over the place. Sammy Mutsuvi, I would say, take maybe the win. Oliver Goethe, P2, and Luke Browning will be P3 for the feature race. So I don't think the win will come from pole for the feature race. And I guess that is also a bold prediction of mine. George, how about you?
It's definitely a bold prediction. Not going for a win round Monaco from pole, even in F3. I don't know. I mean, Goethe had an amazing weekend on the whole. It'd be hard to kind of go against him, really. I'll go for him to get the pole and the feature win. For the rest, I mean, I don't even know, to be honest with you. It's Monaco. It's a difficult one for me to even predict, I'll be honest. I could have a go at F2, but F3 is, yeah. It's just basically a lottery at this point. It's like, who's gonna come out on top this weekend?
I mean, it's more for the panic end games. I mean, like I said, nobody knows because it's so... The rookies are doing better than the returners, especially in F3. Anything could be happening because, like I said, I believe it is one of the... Not even one of the returners, actually, as well. As you know, one of the returners is, but pretty much everyone else is kind of getting involved with some of the rookies trying to take the top spots in the standings. But should be interesting. Looking into Formula 2, as mentioned, they've been racing since the start of F2, going back to 2017. The track record still is held by the Monégasque F1 driver, Charles Leclerc, with a 119.309. Sprint race is 30 laps, and the feature race is 42 laps. We'll also mention, for both F2 and F3 races, it is laps. However, it's also within a time limit, which has happened over the years a few times where they've just run out of time and cut down how many laps to be completed, which should take on the time limit. Obviously, because there's so much going on in Monaco, they need to be on schedule, but it's quite a short time period sometimes for it.
It is. It's very frantic at the end of the day. I mean, they find a way to make it work. I mean, normally they have like a big gap, like what, 3 hours or something like that between F2 and F1, and between F3 and F2, it's not like an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. So, yeah, it's a tight one for sure, but they'll find a way to make it work. They usually do. It's all hunky-dory as long as, you know, there's not a bad accident or a red flag or something like that. But if that happens, then, yeah,
everybody's going to be rushing around knowing to try and figure out, what do we do? There's not a time.
Oh, yeah, it's always kind of crazy, especially if anybody's like a lap down, or obviously they have a lot of cranes, so trying to get the cars out of the way very quickly sometimes is not the best. But looking to last year's results, on pole was Frederick Bessie, who topped the times with Victor Martins joining him on the front of the grid. Hajar was on reverse pole with Iwasa joining him. On the sprint podium, Iwasa was able to, pretty much not from pole, but from front of the grid, took the top step with Jehan Daruvala P2 and Jack Crawford P3. In the feature race, Bessie converted the pole to a win with Teo Porcher in P2 and Zane Maloney in P3. Now, again, what are your pole and your podium predictions?
So, I mean, a little bit biased, obviously. I know he's a bit of a friend of the show and a bit of a favourite on here, but I'll go for the championship leader, Zane Maloney, to get pole. I'll go for him to get the feature win at the sprint. So who am I going to feel? I think it's going to qualify about 7th or 8th. So let's have a look at this list. Who do I think is likely to be around there? You know what?
Fifth anyway, because of the reverse.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. The guy that was kind of standing out to me, though, I'll go with Richard Bishaw. He's someone who just sort of pulls results out of just nowhere. So I'll go for him to get the reverse grid pole and get the win in the sprint. Podium-wise, let's chuck Colo Pinto, because he obviously won the sprint, I think, in F2 last weekend. And I'll, just because we spoke about it a bit, I'll go for Antonelli as well. I think he'll do quite well. If he's going to show his talent, Monaco's the place to do it. So I'll go for him for there. And we've already mentioned about Maloney getting the win for the feature. On the podium as well, my heart's definitely leading my head here. I'll go for Correa. I'd love to see him get a podium in F2. The guy's been through absolute hell to even get back into F2 again. And third place, let's say, because he didn't have a great weekend at Imola, I'll put Pepe Marti there as well.
Okay. We got a few similar ones, but sounds good. I mean, the thing is with the pole, you have to figure out, especially with the reverse pole, what the driver numbers are as well to make sure that they're both not even or they're both not odd. So for you, it worked out nice because it's 5 and 22. So I think Ollie Bearman actually will take pole on the odd side. And then on the sprint race, I think Isaac Hajar will win. P2 will be Dennis Hauger. P3 will be Zach O'Sullivan. And then for the feature, I know, very bold. For the feature, Behrman does not convert. And then I say it'll probably maybe be Gabriel Bartoletto will win. I think Zane will take P2 and Behrman P3. So, few different names compared to you, but kind of similar. And we keep track of these as well. So at the end of the season, we can kind of see who had the most correct answers. It's going to be me because I've been on more episodes than everybody else, but small wins.
It's not fair. It's not fair. It's a rigged system.
I mean, the seat's always open. If you've been listening to the show a few times, obviously Tom Downey does join, but due to other personal commitments, hasn't been in. So I'm always looking for another co-host of Formula Talk at some times. So if you want more episodes, definitely come in and join with me, George, as well. But I'm going to win. I mean, there's no prize as well. Like, I'm not going to do a grid talk bet. I'm not going to do that.
Unlike the Iron Man Tom Downey, who lost his bet in record time. You know, honestly, I have to give that a bet to the people who don't know. Of course, Tom Downey thinking that Lando Norris will not win a race this season, and then he immediately comes and wins in my... I know that's an F1 thing, but I have to mention it on here whenever I get the chance, because that is unbelievable. That is beyond comical.
What was the win anyway? Like, what if Lando did win?
So the bet was basically, if Lando doesn't win a race the entire season, whether it's a sprint race or a Grand Prix win, Tom Horrocks would have to shave his head and present an episode of Grid Talk. But Tom Downey bet the opposite. So if at any point during the entire season, which just happened to be the next race, he would have to do the same. So he has to, by his own admission, by the sword that he wields, he needs to shave his head and come on Grid Talk bald as an egg.
Ooh, I might be going down to Wales in June, so I will make sure that gets seen. Tom, if you're listening as well, it's going to be a fun weekend. Shave your head. But I mean, crazy predictions, crazy bets. We don't do that kind of stuff on Formula Talk, but maybe in the future. This is only season two, so who knows? Maybe I will come up with obscured bet and challenge, I guess. But who knows? Let us know as well what your predictions are for the F2 and F3 race on the comments on the YouTube channel or also on social media at Grid Talk UK. So that is the Monaco preview and the Imola review. However, I did mention earlier about suspension. So two F3 drivers have received suspensions from races. Nikola Tosa has been suspended from racing in Spa coming up. And as mentioned, the McLaren development driver, Martinus Stenhorn, has been suspended for Silverstone. This is due to them taking part in another championship prior to approval from the promoter or from the FIA in writing. Now, while drivers are open to race in other series, especially various sports series, they do need to ask for approval from the FIA, the promoter, to ensure no unfair advantages are taking place. So there are some drivers that take place in other series. I know even the GB3 that Martinus Stenhorn is taking part on, there is Nikita Bedrin that is racing in that same discipline, but he got approval. Tosov was racing in Euro Cup 3. But we've mentioned a few times in a few episodes, obviously the Formula E rookie testing and Paul Aron racing in two rounds in Berlin in Formula E, they all need approval from the FIA, and these two drivers just did not do that in time for the different racing. So I think it's great because it does help, especially the drivers that can't afford to do multiple series. It keeps the playing field very even. The reason why it's these specific tracks is because they either took part at that track or a similar track. So for GB3, it wasn't at Silverstone, but it was another British racing track. Same for Spa as well. So because it's on the F3 calendar, F2 calendar, it made sense to just ban the race that's in the same country as the race that they illegally competed in. But George, what's your take on it?
We have to keep it PG on here, so I'm not going to give my real opinion on it, but I didn't even know that was a rule. I find that absolutely insane. I do get it that they want to keep the playing field even, but these guys, as we've seen, don't always make it to Formula One. But quite often, even if they win the championship, they can't, they don't go there, whether it's financial reasons, whether it's just bad luck, the seat not opening up. And they should be able to, you know, go and get experience in whatever racing series they want to. If I get they want to keep it even, but they're effectively limiting drivers from being able to compete in other races.
And they can race in, like, Nikita Bedrin is racing.
Why they need permission like that? I just find that a bit... I know you've got Zane Maloney taking part in Formula E as well, but that's fine. I didn't realize they had to ask permission for that. But I think that's... I don't like that. I'll be honest, I do not like that.
Interesting. I agree with both. I mean, we see with a lot of the F1 Academy drivers, they are racing in and Euro Formula and Formula E and different Formula 4 disciplines because of how their time is on their racing calendar. It's only applicable when it's in season with the other races. So we saw a lot of them racing in F4 Middle East. That took place before Saudi, before Bahrain. so they didn't have any issues. I know Formula 4 regional, Middle East, and Oceania is quite a big one that a lot of these F3 drivers do take place in as well. But I don't know, maybe because it was within same race weekends, that might have not been allowed, especially because it might have been the same track that they are going to race at in the F2 and F3 calendar. But it's interesting. I agree, but don't agree as well.
We could agree to disagree, yeah.
I do see that side of it, yeah, if they're going around the same track, gaining experience a bit, but there's such a thing as racing simulators, which I know are not the real thing, but you've got these guys being rigged up in tens of thousands of pounds worth of equipment, and in theory, they can, I mean, Max Verstappen does that, he bloody does esports events mid-weekend, you know, so I don't know.
Win?
Yeah, it's unsurprising, like, he wins. Yeah, I wholeheartedly think that is a bit of a ridiculous rule. I do sort of see where they're coming from, but to stop people competing because of it, it seems really heavy-handed to me. That is throwing the book at people, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I mean, might be just a quick in writing saying I'm racing at this, and FIA stamps it, okay, cool, good to go. They might have not put it in writing in time, or they might have not even just put it in writing in the first place. But like I said, there is an F3 driver that is racing in other disciplines currently, which is the same discipline that one of them has been banned from. One has riding, one didn't, so make it fair as well. But here's what it is. Whatever your take is as well, let us know in the comments and on social media as well, because this has been kind of stirring up in the support series, social media controversy as well about what's going on for that. But yeah, Formula Talk Season 2 is available on YouTube, where episodes are posted. Just search Formula Talk on YouTube to keep up to date with our 2024 season. And if you've been a listener to our show, you know that we are the sister show of Grid Talk, where you can find our back catalogs and also their episodes, Amazon Fire, Spotify, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Grid Talk to find our episodes and their episodes covering everything F1. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And also make sure you're subscribed to know when each new episode of Formula Talk and Grid Talk are released. We'll be back soon for plenty more content where we review Monaco. And also, we might have a special Indy 500 episode as well, because it is such a historical race and we do have a lot of support series drivers taking place in it this season. George, thank you for coming on once again. Always great to have you and talking about everything F2 and F3.
Very happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
See, it's always available. Maybe next week might see you, depending on time and schedule.
We'll have to see you. Not saying no.
I'll hold your word to it then. Thank you very much for listening to Formula Talk presented by Bet Online. Goodbye.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories, but your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver. Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.